I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about choices and happiness. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Positive psychology professor Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar has pulled together his own research findings, along with the research of his colleagues worldwide, to reveal what choices in our lives lead to greater happiness, a more fulfilled life. Each of our lives is filled with challenge, of course. You don't need me to tell you that. But there is choice in most circumstances, even the most challenging. Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar explains the many small choices we can make each day to change our lives for the better. This is how we choose the lives we want. This is the mindful way to happiness. I love this book. I plan to read from it every day to reinforce the main idea, to see the small choices that I can make in a day that I often walk past, to feel alive, to strengthen my ability to experience the moments in a day in the deepest way. Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Faith. It's great to be back.
Now, is it this simple that if we notice the choices that we can make minute by minute, hour by hour, that it jacks up the happiness quotient?
Yeah, it's that simple and it's that complex, in the sense that we do have a choice at every moment in our life. The challenge, though, is to be aware of these choices. You know, I call these rhetorical choices. It's like rhetorical questions. Yeah, we know the answer to them. And rhetorical choices are choices that we know what we would choose had we had the choice, but we're not always aware that we have them. So, for example, do I choose to breathe deeply or to breathe superficially or with shallow breaths? Or do I choose to be nice or to be harsh? You know, these are easy choices to make. What's not easy is remembering that at every moment of our life, we have a choice.
Is this a kind of awareness that can drive you a little crazy? I think you know what I mean, where, you know, people feel so overwhelmed. And I don't exclude myself from the crowd. I mean, everybody does. We have so much that we have to focus on. And it can sound like a task to do what you're suggesting, but in reading your book, instantly I saw the value in this. But if you could address that.
Sure. You know, it's a task. It's a chore at the beginning. And then very quickly, it can become a way of life, second nature. It's a little bit like, you know, learning a new skill, say a tennis forehand. You know, initially, I have to think about every movement. I have to think about the ball, the racket, myself in relation to them. And it's tedious and it's difficult. But after practicing it for a while, I no longer need to think about it. It comes naturally to me. It's easy. It flows. And in the same way, initially, if I become aware of the choices that I have, yeah, it's not easy. It may be difficult. It may be bothersome at times. But very quickly, it becomes a way of life.
I think we all know that sense of sleepwalking through life. We all do it. I do it. Everyone I know does it. The other day I was driving in the car and I thought, you know, what does my hand feel like on this steering wheel? And then I started looking around. And you describe this in the book where you look outside. You know, we have the choice just to kind of see in this broad stroke, or to look and appreciate or recognize what the silhouette of those branches are up against a building or the sky. To see people walking, and I will think sometimes, if there is a soundtrack to that, how beautiful and interesting that would be. That way of looking, that way of seeing, that's what you're talking about.
Yes, it's related to something that Einstein once said, that either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. And if we're just mindful of what is around us, within us, with the people, with the landscape, technology, nature, if we're just aware of it, then really everything is a miracle. And the nice thing is that we can take a step back and appreciate it. And I must add, you know, related to your previous question, that it's also nice sometimes to just live it, be unaware of it, and just be in the process part of it, and then take a step out, and which makes us appreciate all the more what we are a part of. So it's this interplay, this dance between being in the process and then moving out and looking at the process. That's what makes life be experienced as a miracle.
I was thinking about how popular your course is at Harvard on happiness and this idea of choosing the life you want. We think of young people, though pressured at places like Harvard and Yale, as having so much to be thankful for, you know, that kind of invincible feeling. And I think how fascinating that, you know, college age people are flocking to a course like this. What is that about?
Well, you know, it's about looking for happiness in the wrong versus the right places. You know, I remember when I was a student, or initially when I got in, I thought, okay, so I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life now because, you know, I got into a good place. I'll probably get a nice job after that, and you know, I'll be all set. And very quickly finding myself unhappy. Because happiness doesn't lie in accomplishments, in achievements, in success. It lies in the day-to-day experiences, in learning to appreciate the little things and the big things. It doesn't lie in achievements, in success, in accolades, in money. That's, you know, these are nice to have, perhaps, but they're not the answer for the
This
good
is,
life.
yeah, I'm sorry. This is Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar. We are Skyping him in Israel. His new book is Choose the Life You Want, The Mindful Way to Happiness. It is a great book. I value this so much. There's a section in your book that surprised me because a million economists, you know, or financial planners would, on the face of it, disagree with you. You pose a choice between buying a new car that you need or using this bonus that has appeared to take a trip with someone you care about. You know, what is the smart thing to do? And you say the research shows it's not the car.
Absolutely. The research shows that experience brings us more happiness than things. And that's counterintuitive to many because, you know, if I buy a car, I'll have it a month from now and I'll have it 3 years from now, possibly. Whereas if I go on vacation with my loved ones, you know, it will be over in a week or two. But it turns out that the memories we build, the relationships we cultivate, that they are much longer lasting actually than the thing that we buy, be it a car or a house or a new gadget. These are again nice things to have, but they're not the answer. The way to happiness is through building experiences, cultivating relationships.
Taking the trip, having all kinds of experiences, you know, with your loved one or loved ones. It strikes me that this way of finding the choice in a time of your life is a practice, is something you can learn. You've made me really understand that. We have a psychologist who comes on the show all the time, Dr. Nancy Horn in New Haven, and she believes that having a sense of choice about things, it keeps you from feeling depressed. If you don't feel like you have a choice, you start to get depressed. And so you've made me understand that this practice of understanding what the choices might be in any given situation are also a key.
That's right. The difference between sadness and depression lies in the feeling that we have a choice. So I can be very sad, but know that a day from now, a week or 2 weeks from now, I'll be okay. You know, that too shall pass. Whereas a person who is depressed may experience the exact same emotions that the sad person experiences. However, he or she doesn't see an end to it, so that they don't have a choice. They're stuck. They're there. And if I know that I have a choice to move elsewhere, to do something different, to have a different experience, that makes all the difference. It can turn a very difficult experience to a learning experience. It can turn depression into sadness, into happiness.
This idea of reacting in anger versus taking a step back.
You know, we're all at times angry. It's a human emotion. We've all said things that we later regretted. The question, though, is when we are just before that point, just before that point of blowing up, if we can recognize that we have a choice at that point to blow up or to take a step back, to count to 10 or to 100 or 1,000, if we can recognize it in time, we can save ourselves and others a lot of pain. Now, having said that, sometimes we realize that we had a choice after the fact. It's too late. That's part of being human. However, knowing that we do have a choice in the future makes it more likely that we will make the right choice.
I can't wait to get to this idea of procrastination and this way of thinking about it. Using this device, the 5-minute takeoff, I realized that I do this in my life. I just didn't know it had a name, and it has been helpful. But I know people struggle with this issue of procrastination. So to eliminate a lot of that and to feel greater happiness, that's what we're going to get to. We're going to talk about thinking and acting purposefully as we go on. My guest is Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar. I hope you will stay right where you are, Dr. Ben-Shahar, so that we can come back to you in just a moment. If you would like us to send this book to your door as thanks for supporting everything you listen to here on WNPR, it is our great pleasure to do so. And I have to say, for me personally, it's a special pleasure with this book. I think this book is so terrific. Choose the Life You Want. It would be my greatest hope that it would be taught to children and adults, you know, people of all ages, starting in kindergarten. It is really terrific. Choose the Life You Want. Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar rejoins us in just a little bit. Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-584-2788.
Thank you, Faith. What a great pleasure it is to be on with you. This is Harriet Jones.
Me too, Harriet.
Yeah, it's just great to get to talk about how much I love your show, actually. It's going to be really fun.
Harriet, this is ridiculous. I don't even want... But I am so admiring of your work, so that you would think anything positive about what I do is a great honor to me.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Faith. Well, thank you. That's really nice of you. It's just a great pleasure to be on with you because, as well as a colleague, I'm really an avid listener of your show. And you know, often in the afternoons when you're on, I'm driving around to interviews that I'm doing myself for the station, and I'm listening, and I just get so absorbed, as I am in this conversation. I get so absorbed in what's being said that the time just flies by, and I get to my destination, and the hour is gone. And that's just a very common experience I have with listening to you. So this is just a wonderful experience to get to be on with you too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And as you know, Harriet, because of the people that you interview, so much of this has to do with the quality of our guests and people sharing the best of what they know.
I think that's right. And you really, you feel this too with the interview that you're engaged in now with Dr. Ben-Shahar. You know, and I think that part of that is how selective you get to be, because I've been in the studio in New Haven, I've seen those piles and piles of books that you have, the choices that you have. So many authors would love to be on your show. So many publishers are offering up books. You get to take that time to really select the author who's going to mean the most to your listeners, who is really going to have something illuminating to say, who's going to be the most relevant to their lives. And, you know, I think this is just an absolutely on point with this particular interview. Choose the Life You Want. That's something that's so meaningful to so many of your listeners. So if you are a listener to Faith, if you value these types of conversations where you can just really get lost in what's being said, you really get absorbed in that conversation, if that's something of value to you, we'd love to send this book to you, and we'd love to have that vote of confidence in what Faith does on this station. So give us a call now, 1-800-584-2788.
So for a gift of $60 to the station to keep all this programming on the air, it's our pleasure to send this book to you. We're going to talk next, as we look at Choose the Life You Want, about experiencing your work as a calling. Now, even you might even hate your job, but it is possible to find things in it that can be seen as a calling. And maybe you like your job or love your job, and you might know what I'm talking about, but there there's something, even if it is the ability to reach out and connect with another person on the floor of that workplace, that makes all the difference. And thanks to Tal Ben-Shahar, Choose the life You Want, The Mindful Way to Happiness. I adore it. We'll send it to you for a contribution of $60. You can bring your charge card to the phone. You can go online to WNPR.org. It is up to you. We're just so delighted to hear from you and send this book off. 1-800-584-2788.
And don't forget, you can also do that as a monthly donor, should you choose to. So $60 is the pledge for the book, but if you want to break that down into $5 a month, you can also do that. That's an option we've been offering for about the last year here on WNPR, and it's really been so useful to us and to many of our listeners who want to pledge that way. You don't have a big upfront cost, and you also know you get to kind of set it and forget it. You get to just say, okay, $5 a month, $10 a month, however much it is that you can afford to pledge to WNPR. It goes out of your credit card each month. You know it's going to happen. You can plan for it. It's a great way to give. So if you'd like to do that, you can do that too. $5 a month for this book, or $60 pledge. 1-800-584-2788. We can send this to you for a contribution of $60. If you'd like to share it with a friend, that would be even better. If you can give us a contribution of $120, we can send you two, and you can share this idea of the mindful way to happiness with a friend.
All right, we're going to go back now to Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar. He is also the New York Times bestselling author of Happier. This one is about choosing a life you want through understanding that we face moments of choice every minute, every hour, every day, and that conscious awareness of that, of how we choose to be in the world, is what leads to great strength of character. It leads to greater happiness. All the research shows this. This is a very smart book, not one of those lightweight books that you know that can happen to you when you go to the improve your life section in a particular bookstore. This isn't like that. It's really very, very smart and wonderful. Here is the toll-free number, 1-800-584-2788, and thanks. I'm Faith Middleton. I am Skyping Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar in Israel. His book is called Choose the Life You Want, Small Choices That Will Change Your Life Forever. In other words, the mindful way to happiness. Believe me, it doesn't feel like a burden to do this. It feels quite enlightening to me. So, Dr. Ben-Shahar, how about this idea of procrastination? I think our brain, since everybody has this in one way or another, must be equipped for a reason with procrastination, and yet it can get in the way. It can get out of balance. So what is your idea for how to get around that and accomplish the tasks that are in front of you?
So fortunately for me, as well as for many other people with a tendency to procrastinate, there's a lot of research on procrastination. And one of the things that the researchers have shown is that the main difference between those who tend to procrastinate and those who do not or procrastinate less is that those who procrastinate think that in order to do something, they really, really must want to do something. In other words, they must be really excited and inspired, and then they start acting. Well, it turns out that most of the time, or a lot of the time, we're not inspired or not motivated to do certain things, and we just need to do them. And the people who can just start doing things, whether they really feel like it or not, they're the people who overcome procrastination. So they came up with this 5-minute takeoff technique, which is something that I use almost on a daily basis, which is just start doing something for that you need to do or want to get done for 5 minutes, and then let nature take its course, in a sense. Because after 5 minutes, you very often get into it. And if you don't get into it after 5 minutes, take another 5 minutes, and that may help you get into it. I do this when I write, because I write in the mornings. And sometimes I get up and I really don't feel like writing. But I go for that first 5 minutes. And once I'm in it, I'm in it. And it really works. It works for doing homework. It works for a job. It works for a project that you really, don't want to start or don't feel like starting. Just start it. The motivation will come through doing it.
And that includes, for instance, exercise. The idea is to put the shoes on
Yes,
and
exactly. Big time.
take a
After
few
5 minutes
steps,
of,
right?
warm up, you already are into it. You're more likely. Doesn't guarantee, but you're more likely to continue working out.
In terms of choices, this choosing to appreciate and learn from the people around you.
One of the things that I often talk about, especially when I talk to young students, whether university or even high school students, is I say to them, there's so much to learn from other people, because today we have technology. If we want to know something, we Google it, and yet there is so much wisdom in people who've been through experiences, who've gone through hardships and difficulties and joys and successes. And if we just open our eyes and ears and hearts to learning from others, we can gain a great deal, and we can learn a lot more than we can learn from those machines.
There is a natural fear that we have about being vulnerable for obvious reasons. I think nature also equipped us with this. And yet, when we are, oh, I think we all know how wonderful that can be. So, you have a section on expressing and revealing yourself.
We're afraid of being vulnerable or opening up, because when we open up, we can get hurt. But the important point to realize is that when we don't open up, we are opening ourselves are to losing so much in terms of intimacy and relationship. The number one predictor of happiness, by far, is spending time with people we care about and who care about us. Spending intimate time with, a close friend, or it could be a lover, it could be a family member. And these are the precious time that make life worth living. And in order to spend that intimate time, we have to open up. We have to be vulnerable. So yes, we have something to lose, and we could get hurt, and we do get hurt, and especially we're especially vulnerable with people whom we care about. However, the downside of not opening up is that we lose out on life's most precious gift.
Life is it feels as if it's happening at hyperspeed, and I wonder what is it that can make us slow down when the pressures and the demands are as great as they are. What does this ability to savor life come from?
We need to realize that if we want to make the most of our lives, we cannot just race without break. Racing is fine, working hard is fine. However, if we want to make the most out of our lives, we have to also take a breather. It's like a racing car. A racing car can go around the track many times, but if it doesn't take that pit stop, whether it's to change tires or to refuel, it will not be able to complete the race. In a similar way, human being, we can race. That's fine. We have the internal capacity to do many things and to multitask and to even experience stress and to deal with stress, as long as we take breaks, as long as we slow down. And slowing down means whether it's the 10, 15 minutes of meditation, whether it's the good night's sleep, whether it's the day off, whether it's time to spend with friends and family without running. So just stopping is critical to refuel, to replenish, to recover.
This is Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar. We are Skyping him in Israel. His new book is Choose the Life You Want, The Mindful Way to Happiness. It is a great, great book. There is a choice in here that we can make about reminding ourselves of the true self. It reminds me of the palliative care, the hospice nurses who were surveyed and said, what do dying people, what's at the top of the list? And the idea was regret about not being able to be my real self. And that surprised me. I thought it was going to be something else that would be chosen. So this inability to be the real self, even at the end of life, that's number one.
That's the price we pay for not opening up, for not being ourselves. It's regret. There is certainly a price to pay when we do open up, when we are vulnerable, because we can and we do at times get hurt. However, the price of not being ourselves is so much higher. It's a trade-off.
And sometimes you don't want to get near or face the real self because you don't want to face negative thoughts. And I don't mean the kind that we you know, where we admit to ourselves, you know, I can be better at this. I need to work on this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, oh, I don't know, self-talk that is negative, whether it was planted there by somebody else or it's just in your nature. So I was very interested in a study you quote, Professor Jeffrey Schwartz and his colleagues at UCLA. Can you talk about that, the intervention program?
Yeah, sure. So this, to me, is one of the most important advances in the area of psychology. Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz, in his work on brain lock, on dealing with recurring thoughts or recurring behaviors, whether it's OCD or less severe issues. And what he talks about is how we can go through a process and actually rewire our brain. And how do we do it? How do we change those ingrained habits by creating alternative ingrained habits, only positive ones? So let's say if I have an ingrained habit of checking that the door has been locked over and over and over again, or I have an ingrained habit where I have a negative thought recurring in my mind telling me that I'm not worthy or something else. Well, my brain is plastic. I can actually change the messages. I can change my behavior through persistence, through making on an ongoing basis different choices. So instead of checking the door, I do something else. Instead of having that recurring thought, I think about something else. And over time, we literally, not metaphorically, literally rewire our brain so that we behave in different ways, so that we think different thoughts. His work has changed the lives of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people around the world.
You know, I was angry with someone who, you know, I felt had, you know, done something that was wrong, and as I was going up the ramp in the garage, you know, round and round in circles, I had this whole thing, this story that was going in my head that you wouldn't, I mean, and then if he says this, I will say that, and it went on and on, and by the time I got about halfway up, I thought, what in the world are you doing? What? Listen to your little brain. You know, these are stories. You are ruminating on something. This is not helpful. Drop it. And I think that's what you're talking about. And it also gets to this idea of listening, this simple, simple thing in life. How do we listen with empathy and openness? Oliver Wendell Holmes said, it's the province of knowledge to speak, and it is the privilege of wisdom to listen. Mm. So we're going to get into that with you, Tal Ben-Shahar, after this break that we're taking right now. I can't wait, because so much more to talk about. Choose the life you want, the mindful way to happiness, using small choices every day that will change your life forever. That's what this book is about, and I am so grateful he's written down all this research that I find so helpful. So we'd be happy to send this to your door for a contribution or a gift to the station of $60. We are non-commercial radio. This is how we continue and have for all these years. We find that I think a little over 10% of you as you listen actually understand, hear what it is we're saying to keep us commercial free. And we do squeak by with that. We'd love to up that percentage, and we'd like you to participate. We think you will feel so much better as you listen as a supporting member of this station. 1-800-584-2788.
And this is Harriet Jones here with Faith Middleton. Faith, I love that you talked about procrastination, because that's one of my worst issues.
I would never know that. You are so productive.
Well, thank you. But it just shows you how practical this book is, too. It's not just, you know, a meditation on mindfulness. It's real practical little tips, that five-minute thing. Just go do something for 5 minutes, and then you'll be engaged in it, and you won't procrastinate any longer. That's maybe what we would like to ask you to do now, is to go to the phone. So many people, they hear the pledge drive, and they say, yes, I know I should do that. I meant to become a member, and I really should support the station. I love it. I listen to it. But they just can't. They procrastinate. They can't quite get to the phone. If that sounds like you, then take a tip from Dr. Talban Shahar, who's giving such having such an illuminating conversation with faith right now. Go to the phone right now, 1-800-584-2788, or go online too. If that's easier for you, if that's more comfortable for you, go right on the website, wmpr.org, click on the pledge button. It's very easy to follow through from there, or you can call us, 1-800-584-2788.
There is the choice that we make about refusing to accept reality or accepting reality and acting on it as it actually is. We're going to talk about that. We can treat life with gravity most of the time, or bring a humor and lightness to this crazy life that we lead. So we're going to get into next this ability to listen with empathy and openness rather than rushing to give advice, which is sometimes irresistible, with the best of intentions. So we're going to get into the difference. We're going to talk about acting like a know-it-all versus opening your mind and heart to learning. The ability to delay gratification, to seize the moment instead, all of it. Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar of Harvard University. We would love to hear from you. You can bring your charge card to the phone. Or you can go to WNPR.org and handle it that way if you're an online person and you want to do it a different way. Right now we have volunteers for public radio at the phones and delighted to talk with you quite quickly and send you on your way. And when you listen, this happened to me. I thought, I am helping to make that happen. 1-800 toll-free 584-2788.
You know, Faith, for a station of this size to have the lineup of daily talk shows that we do, it is really unusual. It may even be unique. We have these three in-depth daily talk shows, Where We Live, you know, treats the kind of hard-edged news each day, and then Colin McEnroe's show, so eclectic, we never quite know what's going to be on there. And then your show, Faith, which really takes a deep dive into the arts, into culture, philosophy, mindfulness today. You know, really what you always say, the richness of life, it brings that to the listener. You engage us all, you bring people together. I mean, your show is really about mindfulness. This book is very apt to your whole show. So as a listener to Faith, if you appreciate that daily mindfulness that Faith brings to you, if you appreciate the way she brings us all into the conversation and gets us all engaged in these different ideas, makes us think differently about the world, if that's something that you value, that you can put a value on, then please do that now. 1-800-584-2788.
Cannot wait to return to my guest, Tal Ben-Shahar. He is composed a book that includes research from around the world and his own about what leads to greater happiness in life. And I don't mean that in a superficial way. I mean in the deepest way. We're alive for who knows how long. And his idea is to let's do the best we can with this. So we'd be happy to send this book, which is a great, great life lesson between two covers. 1-800-584-2788. It's our thank you gift to you. And thank you right now for calling. I'm Faith Middleton. We return to our conversation with Tal Ben-Shahar. And his book is Choose the Life You Want, The Mindful Way to Happiness, The Small Choices That Will Change Your Life Forever. This idea, Dr. Ben-Shahar, about listening with empathy and openness. We all know the experience of rushing to give advice. We often do this not with arrogance, with the best of intentions. You see a friend or a stranger in some sense of trouble or distress, and you want to help, and you're almost rushing to get to your side or your part, or you're in an argument, perhaps, and you're not listening. You know, you can't wait to say your thing. You know, that's natural. Not necessarily helpful. So let's talk about that.
You know, when we talk about leadership, people think that the most important characteristic for great leaders is charisma. Well, it turns out that that's not the case, that in fact, charisma can hurt the long-term success of an organization. What is important for great leadership? It's the ability to listen. The people who can listen best are the people who have the most influence on other people. The people who listen best help other people the most. The people who listen best also help themselves the most. So there is so much benefit to just being able to listen. Interestingly, also the people who listen well can give the best advice because they're there, they listen. So if we can remind ourselves, again, make that choice that before we jump to conclusions, before we jump to give advice, before we open our mouths, we open our ears and hearts, that can make a big difference to our relationships, to our happiness, to other people's happiness.
I think you quote, yes, Albert Einstein, who said the most precious things in life are not those you get for money. If you are hungry, if you are homeless, if you are out of work, money can, you might doubt this,
Yes.
and understandably so. So how do we keep this in mind? How do we connect to our values? Really, that's what you're talking about.
Right, absolutely. So all the research within psychology shows that money doesn't make us happier from a certain point. So a homeless person, a person who doesn't have enough food to eat, enough for the basic needs, for that person, additional money will certainly contribute to happiness. So the research is about once our basic needs are met for shelter, for food, once those basic needs are met, then additional money makes very little, if any, difference to our well-being. So basics first.
We talk a lot on this show as we explore mindfulness on a regular basis, especially in this speedy life of ours, this unpredictable life. This idea, and you too, saying be present. We have a choice about living in the past or the future. You quote Emily Dickinson, who said, "Forever is composed of nows." That's such a smart line from her and from you. But this isn't so easy.
Yeah, it's not. It's an easy idea to understand. It's not an easy idea to implement. And the way I like to think about it is the way that a Buddhist monk by the name of Mingyur Rinpoche talks about it. And he says that whenever we realize that we are mindless, that we're not present, that's when we have a choice to return to the present. And he calls these moments when we of realization, oops moments. Oops, I've lost my focus. And just coming back. And each oops moment is a little bit like exercising the mindfulness muscle. So it's going to the gym and exercising my arms, and each time I lift the dumbbell, my arm becomes a little bit stronger. In the same way, each one of these oops moments teaches us to be more mindful until a point where we're able to live most, perhaps, of our life in the present, because our life is in the present. If we think about the past or or live in the future, we're missing out on real life, which is the now.
Yeah, I was thinking about this quote that you have in your book, the line from Annie Dillard, the writer, who said, "How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives." And the choice you're talking about is you can do what you feel you have to do, or you can do what you want to do. Now that can be dangerous in the hands of some people. So let's kind of, zero in on what you mean.
What I mean here is that very often we do things that we think that we have to do, that we feel obliged to do, but actually we have a choice about doing them. So for example, someone asks us to meet on a particular day, and we don't have time and we want to do other things, but we feel obliged. And we end up meeting them, and by saying yes to them, we're saying no to ourselves. Well, sometimes that's the right thing to do, to say yes to them and no to ourselves. But very often we do things unnecessarily, and we compromise on our well-being. And in the long term, we also compromise on the relationship with them, and we end up all paying a price. So we need to take a step back when we're asked to do something, when we're asked to make certain choices, and ask, is this the right choice to make? Is this really the right choice to make? And sometimes it may be the right choice, and sometimes we may choose otherwise. The key here is not necessarily what we choose to do, but that we are aware of the choice that we're making, and we're aware of the price that we're paying one choice or the other.
The psychologists, as you quote them, Ellen Langer and Judith Roden, did this research in an old age home, and they assigned residents on two different floors, made them into two different groups. And one floor, they said, okay, we're going to, you know, give you all the support you need, everything, we're going to do everything for you. We organized the schedules, watered their plants, did everything. And then on the other floor, people had responsibilities, things that they cared for, took care of their own plants, and on it went. And you say that 18 months later, the group that had a sense of choice about daily routines were much happier and healthier. But I'm quoting you, perhaps the most striking result of the study was that the survival rate of the floor of people, the group given responsibility and choice, was double that of the other group. In other words, this choosing to water plants, choosing what to watch on television, choosing whether to go to dinner or not, increased lifespan, actually.
This is one of the most important studies in the area of psychology, because what it shows is that choice is not just important in terms of what we choose, but it's important in that we choose. People who choose or who experience their life or part of their life as a choice live longer, live better, they're happier, they're more successful, they're physically healthier. So choice is a basic need, just as vitamins or proteins or oxygen is.
There is a routine, I think routine in life, because people are so pressured, that can be killing to energy. You know, it's hard to stay or find excitement. I hear this so often from people. So how do we maintain that sense where you experience excitement in the everyday?
One of the things about human nature is that we adapt, we get used to things. So we can get, you know, if we live on a highway for the first month, if we've just moved, we can't fall asleep. But after a month, we don't even hear the cars passing by. So we adapt, and that's a good thing. The problem is that we also adapt when we wish we hadn't. So something good happens to us. We have a new exciting job. But after a month or a year, we're no longer excited about it. And the challenge is, how do we maintain excitement? Well, the best known way to maintain excitement is to work on being mindful. There is so much research showing that people who meditate regularly are able to experience things as if anew, much more effectively than people who don't meditate. Why? Because if you really think about it, if you're mindful about it, then everything we do is a miracle, is exciting, and is different. Because even if I go to the same workplace every day and meet the same people, well, we talk about different things. People change. I change. There are different challenges, different things to do. There are always new and exciting things in this world that is ever-changing, that the only permanent thing really is impermanence, as the Buddhists would say. So it's learning to be mindful that can help make the ordinary extraordinary once again.
I happen to adore irony, people with a deep sense of irony. That's very funny to me and clever. But it's very different from being cynical. And so I got to this chapter of yours about the choice that each of us has to be cynical or be open and sincere. And you start this chapter with a quote, and I'm thinking, oh, this is smart. And I get to who said this. Cynicism masquerades as wisdom, but it is the farthest thing from it, because cynics don't learn anything. Because cynicism is a self-imposed blindness, a rejection of the world because we are afraid it will hurt us or disappoint us. I thought, ooh, who said that? Stephen Colbert. I thought, is this my Stephen Colbert? So, just a quick mention before we take a break and tell people how we can send this great book to their homes. Go ahead.
Yes. So this is Stephen Colbert, who's one of my favorite TV hosts. And, you know, he he recognizes that to live life fully, to experience it as we can experience it, we need to be open and not cynical. And you know, the irony is a wonderful thing, and humor is a wonderful thing. But very often, what cynicism does is it closes us off. It closes the conversation off. It lacks the vulnerability, the openness. It doesn't embrace, it doesn't invite people in. Irony is wonderful, humor is wonderful, openness and vulnerability are the ways to reach happiness within a relationship, but for each of us individually as well.
Here we are talking about so many things that are internal to us, and yet a very important chapter in your book. I wish we had more time. We have a choice of engaging in self-analysis continuously, or you can
Yes.
focus outward, and that's what you are encouraging us to do in addition to all these things. So all quite balanced in its approach. Thank you so much, Tal Ben-Shahar, for being on the show again and for doing a great book.
Thank you, Faye. Thank you very much.
Choose the Life You Want: The Mindful Way to Happiness, about the small choices that will change a life forever. Great, great book, and we'd be happy to send it to your door as our thanks for supporting everything you hear on WNPR with a contribution of $60 or more. 1-800, that's toll free, 584-2788.
This is Harriet Jones here with Faith Middleton. Faith, here's a mindfulness idea. There's a cost to things, but then there's also a value to things. And those sometimes can be very different things. You know, there's a cost to us to bring the listeners this programming. You know, we have to keep the lights on, we have to pay the bills, we have to pay the salaries. There's a very concrete upfront cost to us. There's no cost to you as a listener. You can sample as much or as little of this show, of this station, as you want. You can listen all day long. You can listen to an hour. There's no upfront cost to you. We don't charge you anything for it. But there is a value. And that's what we want you to think about. We want you to think about, what's the value of this station? What is the value of the Faith Middleton show in your life? How much would you miss it if it was gone? And think about that value and put a dollar amount on that. Think about how much you can afford to contribute to make sure this show keeps on the air, that we can keep paying the bills and keep our lights on here and keep this show on the air. Give us a call, 1-800-584-2788, or you can go online, go to WNPR.org, click on the pledge button, go through that process. It's very, very easy. Think about that value and be as generous as you can with your contribution. 1-800-584-2788.
Harriet, I've been doing these conversations like this during fundraising with listeners for a long time, and I've never heard anybody, I think, put it better when you talked about the difference between cost and value at public radio. That was so beautifully said. I take Harriet at her word and encourage you to participate, to be an active listener, to choose to do that. And so that when you listen, you can say, maybe you're someone like so many people I know who say, I'd want to have a more creative life. Well, here is your way to be a patron of amazing creativity. When you think of all the shows on public radio, not like anything else on the dial. And so here's the toll-free number, 1-800. With your gift of support, you keep this on the air. And what a relay this is, back and forth between us. 1-800-584-2788.
You know, one thing I love about your show, Faith, is how much it encourages me to share. Because often when I've heard you in the afternoon, I'll go home and I'll be at dinner, or I'll be with friends and I'll say, oh, did you hear? You know, did you hear that author, or did you hear that recipe on the Food Schmooze, or whatever it is? And, you know, often people say, yeah, I heard that too. And, you know, it generates conversation. There's all kinds of sharing that takes place around content that's as rich as this, that, you know, there's so much more to say. There's so much more to carry on the conversation. So, and, you know, and this is another way that, you know, you can share with us, and you can contribute to us. As Faith was saying, you can become an associate producer. You can become involved with the sharing that goes on in this station. 1-800-584-2788. Here's another even sharing idea. If you love the idea of this book, I'm looking at this book now and I can't wait to really get into it and read it. Choose the Life You Want: The Mindful Way to Happiness. We can send this to you for a contribution of $60. If you'd like to share it with a friend, that would be even better. If you can give us a contribution of $120, we can send you two, and you can share this idea of the mindful way to happiness with a friend.
Yeah, great gift. Really great gift. Harriet, you must have the best friends on earth. You are such a generous person. Thank you so much for doing this with me and everything you do.
It's been great fun. Thank you, Faith.
Toll free 1-800-584-2788, and thanks.